Only a people's bank will tame the savage beast. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. I have Robbie Barwick with me, back from nether regions of Western Australia. Hello.
Hi, Martin. I've been everywhere, man.
But well, with good effect, right?
With good effect. But hey, this banking closures inquiry has taken me now to, I'd never been north of Perth in WA before, and I got to fly into one of these mining towns in the Pilbara. Well, you fly into Parabidoo, and then I drove 45 minutes to where the hearing was held on Wednesday in Tom Price. And it's a really lovely little oasis in a desert, actually, nice little green spot in this really stark, stark landscape, right? The only reason you know, as someone said to me, the reason you know you're not on Mars is because it's warm. In fact, really hot. But otherwise, it is red and it's you know, really bare and stark, and not bare like a desert, but you know, like rocky and no real trees to speak of except in the town. Great experience, really great experience. But it proved. In my mind, and I think it's starting to prove in other people's minds, that, you know, the way these banks choose to behave, the only way the government is going to tame these savage beasts is to step into the arena and saying, we're getting a government bank back.
Yeah, and just to give people a bit of a sense, right, the Pilbara, the size of the Pilbara relative to Victoria is really interesting, isn't it? It's big.
Well, the Shire that covered this particular area is called Ashburton. The Shire is half the size of Victoria. Mm. And it has zero banks. And now this is not, you could go to the Northern Territory around Alice Springs and whatever and find an area of land that size and say, well, so what, you're in the middle of the desert. What distinguishes this Shire, Martin, is it is probably the single richest, most productive local government area on the planet. This is where Australia's iron ore wealth comes from. This is what keeps Australia alive as a nation. 2% of our GDP is generated in this one shire because this is where the iron ore comes from. And it's got zero banks, zero. And I tell you what, you heard, I think you listened to the testimony.
Yes.
I mean, some of it's excruciating what the banks pulling out of these areas puts the people through. It's excruciating. And I want to tell a little bit of that. But no, when you see it and it's like, okay, the banks are no less profitable. They're more profitable than ever. The demand is there. We wouldn't be having these hearings if the demand wasn't there. And in fact, I saw one of the senators in this particular hearing, the West Australian senator who has only participated in the West Australian hearings, he was listening to the local post office guy talk about how much his foot traffic has exploded since the banks pulled out. And it's like the scales fell off the senator's eyes and he goes, oh, well, that proves people use banks then, doesn't it? Duh!
Yeah.
I kid you not. These guys started off with a blank slate, these senators, except for a couple of them that really wanted this inquiry. Most of them thought they were giving the banks the benefit of the doubt. The good news is they're not giving them the benefit of the doubt anymore. And then they hear the excruciating detail from these witnesses about what it actually means in those areas. And so, the only way that we're going to reform that is the government has to get back in, and it's their worst nightmare, but it's the only thing that's going to make them step up to the plate and start treating people properly.
Well, I thought it was interesting that some of the witnesses actually made the point that they were considering creating a local government agency, right, to try and solve the critical issues that they have immediately. I mean, it was excruciating to hear what people are having to do because they just cannot get access to the services that they need just to survive.
Well, let's give one example of that, and then we'll get onto this local government bank idea. The example I want to point out from the volunteer of the, for the local softball club, who is telling the story of what it takes, what it took to get his signature changed on the account for the softball club, because he joined the board of the softball club. Now, Martin, there's a one of the things that has become really stark is these stories are universal. Every single hearing, there's been 12 hearings now.
Yep.
Every single hearing has heard variations of this guy's story. Every single one. It's just that he took the time and he told it in great detail, and he made it was excruciating. And ironically, it's not just about the bank pulling out. But anyway, I won't go through it all, but I'll give you enough. Essentially, it gets down to the point after all this stuffing around and trying. So what the difficulty is, the banks say you've got to have two people from the club to be present to do this handover of signatures and for the verification, etc. And it's really hard to coordinate because these are volunteers. They've got day jobs. They work mining hours and stuff like that, right? And it's getting them there at the same time. And it would be difficult enough if the bank was in town, but it's not in town. I mean, the bank is literally hundreds of kilometers away. It boils down by the end. This guy has to go, not has to go. He has to pay out of his own pocket as a volunteer a minimum of like $300 for the fuel to get to the bank 5 hours away, right? To get the job done. $300 of his own money.
Yep.
And that's what it comes down to. And here's the worst part of that. This is what makes it particularly excruciating. Like I said, if the bank was in town, that would be, you know, that'd be an easy fix. But the banks say when they pull out, go bank at the post office. Now, the post office will do for you the most important ID check you ever do in your life, which is for your passport. They have the authority to do that. Every post office in Australia can do an ID check for your passport. They can give you a passport and do the ID stuff. They're authorized to do that. But these bastard banks who pull out of towns and tell people to go to the post office will not authorize post offices to do enough of an ID check just to update a signature on an account. It's the easiest fix in the world. It's pushing a button. Beat that out if you have to. I mean, it's. I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, and the post office guy behind me is snorting and whatever. And it's like, this is so easy to fix. What is wrong with you people? The contempt, the sheer and utter contempt you have for your fellow Australians. And you've heard this story in 12 hearings in a row. This one was a bit more dramatic than most, and you refuse to fix it. You're the one telling the bank at the post office, and you put these stupid, ridiculous restrictions on it because you're bloody sipping martinis in pinstripe suits at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the CBD of your city, about to get in your Maserati to drive home, and you don't care what you're doing to the people out there in the boondocks who are the productive people who make Australia work. And you are ruining their lives by this rubbish. And you could fix it like that. That is the kind of stuff that I think I'm looking at these senators. And, you know, for the record, forgive my French there, but, you know, the steam comes out of your ears.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, people, your viewers know me, right? This is why we're into this. We want to fix it.
Yep.
The issue is, what are the senators going to do?
Hmm.
And I'm watching them. And I tell you what, they've come a long way in 12 months. Let me tell you that. In fact, I said to one of them, Martin, this is quite revealing. I said to one of them, you've got better and better in this inquiry. And his answer was particularly gracious. He said, well, at the beginning, you don't know what you need to know.
Hmm.
And so you are a blank slate. You do give him the benefit of the doubt. But as you participate, you learn so much, then you know what to ask and what to zero in on, right? And so it's well and truly shifted those guys, and they've got all the raw material there to crack down and say, what are we going to, you know, how are we going to address this? And that brings us to what you raised about this local, the Shire of Ashburton put up the idea of a local government bank. Now, what's significant about this is it's still a public bank, but their proposal is let's have a public bank backed by local government. And part of their reasoning, I'm sure, is because they don't have much confidence in state governments or federal governments above them, right? So, but they also know that, forget the red tape, bureaucracy, political pussyfooting around on this stuff. They need banking now. It is an urgency for them. And they're thinking, well, we've got buildings. We've got, you know, we're in a position that they know lots of local governments around Australia are in. What if we pool our resources and we become the bank and provide the banking services, right? And that is something that I can absolutely assure you registered with these senators. It's, see, because what we've been proposing is ideologically at odds with their philosophy, right? They're part of the neoliberal generations that have given up all this power to the banks. And they're going to have to be dragged kicking and squealing back to actually going, reversing that and saying, no, we've got to get back into banking, right? And it's one thing, they've heard it from you and me and the Citizens Party all year. But now they're hearing it from the victims on the ground coming up with their own version of the initiative. That's what we need, right? It was very, very significant. And as it happens, they did admit to me that it was in part inspired by our work because they had seen our material on it. And we quoted some experts from universities that have actually made, you know, put profit opinions on this. Mm-hmm. So they went and got in touch with the same experts and said, well, what do you think of our idea? Right. I don't care that it's a different version of our idea. We want a postal bank, but it's the same kind of concept. Here's the public infrastructure already exists. Let's capitalize on that and turn it into a bank. We're proposing the post office. They're proposing local government infrastructure. We might even be able to work out something that combines the two. The important point is not the fact that there's multiple versions of this going around. The important point is everyone's starting to come to the same conclusion. We need a people's bank.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think three observations, you know, from a distance. The first is, I think it's really interesting that they made quite sure now that audio was made available in some of the very early hearings that wasn't available, right? So that's, I think, quite significant. The second is this idea that, in fact, a lot of politicians are trapped into the neoliberal philosophy where let the markets be the markets, you know, we shouldn't interfere. It's all about letting the banks have their head. They are now really coming up against that fundamental philosophy. And yep. So the question now becomes, is there sufficient evidence and momentum to really move the dial? And for the politicians who up till this point have been saying, well, the banks are fine, you know, let them have their head, et cetera, they're now being really caused to question that. So that is now the acid test, isn't it?
Yep, 100%. And that brings us to Bank West, because this has already been a very dramatic year associated with this inquiry. Like I said, it was the 12th hearing. There's at least two more before the inquiry wraps up. They, you know, they were supposed to wrap up in December last year, remember? So, and that's popular demand. That's the senators responded to popular demand. And then last week, just before this hearing was turning up in WA, Bank West makes this announcement that they're shutting. They're basically going fully digital. And there's 60 Bank West branches, 45 are going to be shut completely, and 15 in areas, regional areas where there's no other bank in town, 15 will be rebadged as Commonwealth Bank branches. And then Commonwealth Bank will get to turn around and say, see, we're increasing our branch presence. When all they're doing, it's a net exchange, right? But anyway, shocking announcement, absolutely shocking announcement. Just blew everyone's mind in Western Australia because there is no public demand for this. They are full of it. And so the other piece of the hearing that I'd like to highlight is the very last exchange between Senator Matt Canavan, the chair, and the Bank West execs who called in over the phone. Because what Senator Canavan did, I'm in the room and I'm watching the faces of these senators, and there was so little goodwill from the bankers. They were there just to weather the storm. They knew they had to come to participate in the hearing after making such a big announcement. They were there to just weather the storm and say, give everyone the big middle finger and move on, right? And so if you're the senator, how do you respond to people with that attitude? You either yell at them, and unlike me, they've been trained in decorum, or you ignore them, right? Like, treat them with contempt as well, but you've got to have a hearing. So what Matt Canavan did was find the middle ground, and but the middle ground was he actually turned into a prosecutor, and like it was like a scene out of a courtroom drama, because what got him going was they're describing the process of coming to this decision to close all 60 branches and go fully digital, and then they say, and now we're in the consultation phase, and Senator Canavan snapped up and goes, what do you mean the consultation phase? What, you've already made the decision. This is a corruption of the English language. You don't, what is it? What do you mean consult after you've already made the decision?
Can I just the chair, Senator Matthew Canavan here, on your website that lists the branches closed, the only one that has a impact statement for it at the moment is Kununurra. Why isn't there impact statements for the other branches that you've decided to close?
The reason being, Senator, is essentially we're in a consultation phase at the moment with our colleagues on the impacts. Once we exit that consultation phase, we will then be informing customers where branches are due to close in the first phase of closures directly. We'll be writing to them, and we'll be sharing the branch closure impact assessments. Essentially, what we've made is an announcement on our strategy and confirming our growth plans with our transition to a digital bank. And the next phase is to move directly to informing customers and communities of the individual closures, confirming the timeframe of each individual closures, and sharing the information with respect to alternative ways to bank, but also the branch closure impact assessment.
So just let me get this right. You were doing the consultation. You're saying the consultation phase is happening after you've made a decision to close the branches. Is that right?
The consultation phase is occurring following an announcement on our strategic decision in relation to the future of our branch network. We've now entered a consultation phase, and the next phase after that is we move to directly informing impacted colleagues, impacted customers and communities.
Yeah, I think it's a corruption of the English language, with all respect, to call it a consultation phase now, given you've already made the decision, gone over that. I'd say it's also an insult to those of my colleagues and others who, in good faith, engaged in the Banking Task Force recommendations, because there is no way that the intent of the idea to prepare impact statements was that the impact statement be prepared after the decision has been made. Because what I'm hearing here is you haven't finalised these impact statements, yet you've made a decision to close the branches. That's not consistent, in my view, with the task force recommendations. Am I wrong in the process here that you've outlined to us?
We haven't published the impact assessments. We're due to publish the impact assessments for the first phase of branch closures. Once we finalise consultation with our colleague base, we have a number of colleagues who are impacted by this decision, and we're working through with them in the consultation phase to explore alternative options for them in terms of career pathways within the CBA group. We're very much focused on retaining our colleagues, and that consultation phase is a really important part of the process.
Do you have draft, do you have impact statements for all of the branches you've announced that are closed, even if they're in draft form?
Senator, it's Scott here. That's just a point of clarification, because in case that there might be some confusion. We have a consultation phase that we need to enter into around our colleagues, which precludes us from announcements of specific dates around branch closures. And then in line with those announcements, also in line with our ABA protocols, we'll be releasing you know, the announcement dates, but also impact assessments.
There's two issues here. Well, I just want to return to my question because time is limited and you haven't engaged my question. Yep. But, okay, let's go to ones. Mount Lawley, due to be closed, well, 7th of March, did get closed last week. Was there an impact statement? Is there an impact statement available on it?
I'll have to check if the impact statement.
Take that on notice. Success, 21st of March. Is there an impact statement on it?
Again, Senator, we'll
take
that
on notice. Wembley, could you take that one notice? Due to close 14th of March.
Tomorrow.
Because there's not tomorrow. There's nothing. So Wembley's closing tomorrow. I mean, I would have thought you'd know if there's an impact statement done or not. Have you done an impact statement on Wembley?
Senator, I'm pretty confident that where we are required to produce an impact statement, we'll have published the impact statement.
Well, it's not on your website right now. As I say, Kununurra is, but the others are not. And it's closing tomorrow. Is the consultation phase on Wembley still open, given it's closing tomorrow?
No, the consultation phase on Wembley has concluded.
Okay. Could you take on notice too? I'd like all copies of your impact statements on all of the branches in their draft form, if you could provide those to the committee. Thanks.
Happy to take that on notice, Senator.
Thank you.
Can I just going back to the evidence that you've just given, and clearly you have to appropriately look at the issues that your own staff are facing in respect of these closures, and you've talked about that in what you've said. But what about the impact on the communities? I mean, so there's two matters here. And Senator Canavan asks you about, and I've asked you about, the impact statements, which are required by the ABA code. And your answer deflects to the impact on your workforce and your colleagues, and clearly that's a matter that has to be properly managed. But what about the impact on communities?
So, and they're coming back with these mealy mouth responses. So then what he does is like, okay, let's let these guys hang themselves. And so he treated their answers literally as if they were telling him being sincere. Of course, he knew they were making it up. It's all rubbish. But he zeroed in on Kununurra, the town of Kununurra, because that's the only place that exists that on the Bankwest website there is a an impact statement for the closure, right? And so he said, tell me about the consultation in Kununurra. And they gave him all this platitudes about how they'd spoken to the Aboriginal communities, et cetera, and they scoped it all out. And he said, so was there a written report from this? Straight away, you could tell by their reaction, of course there wasn't, because they're making all this stuff up. And they're like arming and ahhing and falling back on their platitudes. And he said, no, is there a written report? You said you did a consultation, you scoped it all out. The relevant executives, did you see a written report on this? The feedback came in different forms, Senator, et cetera. So, okay, so then he moved on to that. So what forms did it come in? And every time they answered the question with their made-up crap, he zeroed in on their language and made them account for what they said they were claiming. And each time showed their empty suits, right? He flipped into prosecutor mode. It was quite something to see. And so it was very admiring performance from the Senate and 100% genuine. Like he's not putting on an act, right? 100% genuine. But here's the question for Senator Matt Canavan and the other senators present. It's not good enough having those powerful hearings. What's going to be in the final report? That's the question. What are they going to be prepared to take up to the banks as a fight? Because the final report's not the last word. It's the beginning of a fight. Right? These are the banks that are used to exercising real power, that have the treasurer on speed dial and say, this is how it's going to be. So when they're in government, these conservatives, these nationals and liberals, Their treasurer was on speed dial too. This is a they're bipartisan servants of the banks, these guys, right? What are they going to do where it matters to change that? That is the question. It's no good Senator Matt Canavan putting in such a dynamic performance and then choking on the final report. It's no good at all. And that's where I wanted to raise here what I think everyone can do based on this to help, which is now's the time. We're in the period where roughly probably a little bit more than 12 months before an election is due, right? Now's the time to launch a marginal seats campaign starting in Western Australia, but all marginal seats. But we're definitely going to start in Western Australia because of this Bank West thing, where the anger is palpable. We need to harness that and focus that on the marginal seats of the Labor Party and the coalition, right? The ones they're desperate to hang on to and win the other side, demanding people call them and email those members of parliament, demanding a people's bank. Because nothing else is going to work. Now, I hope Matt Canavan comes up with some pretty strong recommendations for re-regulation. And that's going to be important too. But that'll be an arm wrestle itself. The banks are going to throw an army of lawyers at those regulations. The government still needs to do it. There has to be some basic conditions put on these businesses. What other business doesn't have conditions put on it? I was driving past all these mines. If you want to start a mine in Australia, the government wants you to. They love mining here. Yeah, start a mine, but they'll put conditions on it. These are the conditions of your mine. Why are the banks that enjoy all this public support exempt from conditions, right? Basic levels of service. And so they need to do that. But I can tell you, it ain't going to be enough. They have to go the whole hog. They have to go with the People's Bank. Right. And the fact that it's not just us, but this desperate Shire of Ashburton, the wealthiest place in Australia in actual physical wealth, that's been left completely in the lurch. The fact that they resorted to, okay, what can we do? We're a tier of government. What sort of institution can we come up with and appeal to the surrounding local councils, et cetera, to help them? It is proof of the principle. That's what they've got to do. We've got a particularly good proposal. Ours is well and truly scoped out, the postal bank idea. You know, the regular viewers of your show will be very familiar with it. But now we need you to saddle up. And that means if you're watching from Western Australia, call the members of parliament in marginal seats. You've got to call them. You've got to send emails to them, right? And you've got to tell them how angry you are about Bank West, and they need to go with the People's Bank. And we need to start doing this now and do it all year, right? So that at a certain point, the way it was explained to me by a former minister, she said the only way you get the attention of people in the cabinet is this: they will say to their party people, they'll say, "What are people on the streets talking about?" And the only opinions they're interested in are the opinions in marginal seats, right? We need to make sure they're hearing we need a People's Bank, and we can actually get a breakthrough on this.
Mm. Yeah, and it's about accelerating the momentum to fever pitch, isn't it? In line with the developing of the final report and beyond, as you say, that's not the end of the process, it's the beginning of the process. And of course, in the context here, you've got NAB and Westpac still closing yet more branches as they continue to do that. And my sense, I don't know what you think, but I think some of them are being opportunistic. So they're trying to actually get these things closed before the report comes out, because they probably know that it's going to be more difficult later. But I also have to say that the Bankers Association continues to be absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, well, the day I landed up there and landed in Parabadoo and got the hire car and drove to Tom Price, I get to Tom Price and I'm a Commonwealth Bank customer. NetBank was down. Across Australia, NetBank was down.
Yes.
Well, the biggest banking app in Australia was down. They're just galahs, these people, right? They are so out of touch. And it's not what, you know, out of touch. When you describe someone as out of touch, you could easily sort of not assign intent, but they're deliberately out of touch.
Yep.
They don't want the honest feedback because they've got this digital nirvana in their mind about what it's going to, how good it's going to be for them. And they don't care the pain and suffering that they cause. I even got interviewed on ABC 7:30 on Wednesday night, Martin, and it's pretty rare. I can tell you something now. It's pretty rare for the Citizens Party to get a gig on ABC 7:30. But such was the anger in Western Australia on the Bank West thing, right? And people have had enough. And actually, and this is quite important, a point to make, because you're right, that they're trying to get in before the inquiry is over in case there are some hard-hitting recommendations. And that's true. That's even more true for branches in the cities, right? And so where I was interviewed by Bank West was in front of the Wembley branch of Bank West in Perth. And there's a succession of all these, you know, elderly people who are coming to the bank because it was closing the day after it closed today. Today's Thursday. It closed today. And these people, they had 2 weeks' notice and they're completely left in the lurch, right? And like it's a really disruptive thing for them. And it's not some small thing. It's quite a big thing. And these banks don't care. They don't care. And the thing with Anna Bligh, you know, just her name makes me see red because she's the propagandist for all this. She's gone around Australia for 2 years saying Australians are embracing digital technology. This is why we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. And it's all rubbish. They found a way to enhance their profits and they think the people at the margins, they don't matter. Right. And everyone else will learn to adapt. And if they get ripped off by scammers, who cares? Their behavior is disgraceful. But that's where it's almost a waste of time getting mad at them. It comes down to the government. What is the government going to do?
Yep.
Right. We elect the government to govern and make rules for the proper functioning of our economy and our financial system. And this is a breakdown. This is a dysfunctional financial system, this service delivery, and it's up to the government. So I'm not going to, I hate these bankers. Don't you? You see me carrying on, but that's not the real issue.
Yeah.
What's the government going to do? What are these people who make up the government going to do? And what they do, we know, is respond to the public.
Yeah.
Right. So please, this is a very important thing. We need to bombard these marginal seats. We can provide initial lists for the West Australia ones that Martin can put below this video, and you can start making those calls, and we'll roll out more information about the marginal seats in the other states as well. But this is something you can well and truly help with, and let's get a breakthrough on it.
Absolutely. This is about fighting for the future of Australia and Australians, and making sure that our politicians do the right thing. And as you say, they will listen to, you know, the public, and the more people that can actually rattle their cages and underscore the criticality of banking services in the local community, you know, the community bank, the post office bank, the public service, that is what we need, because that is the only way we're going to get the outcome that's required. Robbie, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much. And
thanks, Martin.
We will keep preaching the gospel, but very importantly to all those watching, make sure you pick up the phone, send those emails, and the links and lists are below. See you later, Robbie. Cheers.
See you, Martin.